passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
And we have left off. Great. Good afternoon. Welcome in on a Thursday afternoon. Somehow we have made it to Thursday. There was some doubt about this week, but we're here. And we're glad you decided to join us. We have a lot to talk about. Pretty good guest coming. Oh, by the way, Nick Saban wants to be a voice for change.
Really?
Yes. In an interview with ESPN, of course, his new employer, yes. Saban said he would like to do something meaningful. Kalen DeBoer talked to ESPN and said Alabama has a chip on its shoulder after Saban. Why is that? Well, because I think there's maybe a common chip on our shoulder. Our players here at Alabama fell in overtime short of playing for the national championship last year. We were one step away from winning the national championship at Washington. Let's take the next step together. Anyway, remember yesterday we were telling you about the 12-team playoff? Mm-hmm. How about 14?
Why not?
I mean, 16, 18. How would this work? It would just mean the two schools do not get a bye. It also means more television money. I didn't just say that, did I? Speaking of money, the EA Sports offering players a whole $600 and a copy of the game as an opt-in. That's a $700 value.
Don't spend that all in one spot.
Yeah, it's really generous of EA. Reese Davis will be in the game. College Game Day crew will be well represented, and that makes everyone really happy.
$600.
I don't know if Brian Kelly's in the game, but he'll be here coming up here in a few minutes. We haven't had a chance to talk to the coach in a while. But we will, and so will John Talty. David Hale? Hale. I know I said David Hale, not. And Nikki Fargus on the big night of college basketball straight ahead. Till then, your phone calls, and we begin in Atlanta with Andre. Hello, Andre.
Coach Paul Feinbaum. You know, I listen to you every day, Coach, and. You know, I was listening to you and Jim go back and forth yesterday.
Which one of the 12 calls?
Look, I don't have a dog in the fight, but what happened over there at Alabama with Eli Gold, Coach?
Well, based on putting it all together, I'll just encapsulate what I've read.
Right.
It looked like they wanted to make a change. Eli said there were a couple of issues that they were not happy with, and
right.
And they offered him to do the spring game and then announce his retirement and honor him, and he wanted another season and then would step right. down, and they said no. So essentially, they said goodbye to him.
I think, you know, if a man been there, 36 years?
Yeah.
They should have let the man fouled out gracefully, Coach. What's the rush? You know, I'm an LSU fan. I don't have a dog in the fight.
Right.
But I did like to hear the guy on the radio. But I guess there's no such thing as loyalty, is it, Coach?
Well, but let me offer this, though. He got very sick.
Yeah.
And as he told
right.
us, he nearly died. The university stood with him. And.
Right.
Andre, my surmise of the situation is that something got lost in the translation between the university
right.
and Eli Gold. I don't know what it was. I mean, I really don't. But the difference, they already had the heir apparent
right.
on the staff.
Right.
The heir, Chris Stewart, is very popular with the fans and. I don't know. I mean, I'm very sad about it because you hate to see a legendary
right.
figure in. I mean, the one thing in coaching, if you get fired, I mean that comes. You also get paid $20 million
right.
to go away. In this case,
right.
I mean, here's a man who's 70 years old who had a distinguished career, and I would have preferred to see him leave more gracefully than he said, she said.
It's a cutthroat business, though, Coach Feinbaum. But listen, you know.
Hey, by the way, I want to promise you, Andre.
What's that, Coach?
When I get replaced here in a few weeks, I will bow out gracefully. I will not go kicking and screaming. I will say, would you mind bringing my car around the front?
Paycheck, Coach. Coach, everybody know you got the big paycheck, so you'll be out there on the yacht next to Nick Saban. We all know.
Yeah, I did. Now I know. I did just buy a house next to his in Jupiter.
Hey, have a good day, Coach.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, Andre. Yeah, I've got a million houses. And still paying on the one I live in. Hayden is up next. Hello, Hayden.
How you doing again, Paul?
The man of the hour, Hayden. You know who Hayden's back. Hayden, we talked to you yesterday. So what kind of reaction did you get after yesterday's come together visit?
Well, I had a few of my friends say, one of them said that I was famous, and one of them said, I can't believe that Jim hadn't apologized or something like that. And I heard Jim getting a lot of hate, so I just wanted to call and say that, you know, he don't need all that.
Well, I don't know if you knew this or not, but Jim has quit the show since your call yesterday.
Really? Wait, did I attack him or something yesterday?
Well, I think, Hayden, he's quit the show a few times. How many times do you think
he's quit? I'll still be back.
Yeah, as soon as we hang up on you, we'll show his. We will play. Talk about graceful farewells. I miss. Yeah. So we're about to play it during the break. But Hayden, I'm glad to know your career is back on track.
Man, it's no problem, Paul. I appreciate it. I did have a question about the playoff, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
I got you. And excuse me, not the playoff, but when it comes to conference expansion, since. You see all these other teams adding teams, and I know that I'm not a fan of the expansion and all that jazz. I'm perfectly fine with where it is, but why in the world, or excuse me, who in the world do you think that the SEC will try to get if they do try to get anybody?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Hayden, because I think we're going. I think that is happening somewhere down the road, and I mean all the. I think you have to look. Unlike other conferences, like the ACC going to California and the Big Ten, it would be my hope that the SEC would stay close to where its foundation is.
Yeah, I get that.
Who would you like to see in the SEC from who do you think would be a good fit?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I guess that's kind of a tough question.
I'm putting you in charge of answering it, though.
Well, yeah, you put me on the spot once again, Paul.
Well, let me help you. let me help you by saying what I said. Geography matters. Texas and Oklahoma are – Texas was already part of the SEC with Texas A&M, and Oklahoma is a contiguous state to Arkansas and Texas. So think in terms of what is near the SEC that would make sense.
Well, I mean, we already have a team in Florida, so I mean, I guess if you wanted to, you could throw in Florida State.
Well, they seem rather they seem rather litigious at the moment, for my taste.
Yeah, there's so much going on with Florida State and their.
Hayden, I think it's a good question. I'll let that question marinate because I think it we're not there yet, but. One day we could be. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We head to the break. Brian Kelly will be joining us in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
To rejoin a friend of ours from the football season, we haven't seen in a couple of weeks, almost a couple of months, I should say, Brian Kelly, the head coach of the LSU Tigers. Coach, I want to ask you what you've been doing. I know it's a busy time, but we're glad to have you back.
Oh, vacationing, you know, on the couch, you know, this job is, you know, just part-time, you know, we don't do anything. No, it's been crazy. I mean, we got a little bit of time after the signing day to kind of get a deep breath, but, you know, now it's time to spend with your players on campus. And sometimes, you know, you get so caught up in all this recruiting, Paul, you forget about the guys that are going to make the biggest impact. And those are the guys on campus.
Coach, not to go yesteryear, but going back maybe to an earlier part of your career, usually when the season ended, you had recruiting until February, but there at least was a pause for a second, wasn't there?
There was a longer pause where you could kind of, you know, get yourself back into it from an organizational standpoint. But, you know, it rolls right into, you know, the development. And, you know, when you're putting your staff together and you've got so many moving pieces today because, you know, you've got so many different organizational pieces that are involved now with your football program that you're the steward of it. And you can't be the absent professor. You've got to be hands-on and you've got to be around. So, and I love it. I mean, I'm not complaining, you know, but it just requires your attention every single day.
I know a lot of things have been going on. First of all, you won 10 games. I know that was really important. You had an outstanding recruiting. You're already recruiting great for next year, and you've had some coaching changes as well. That's a lot to digest there, but how do you feel about where you are right now as we're about to embark on another spring?
Yeah, so going into year three, you know, I think more than anything else, I feel really comfortable with the standards and the you know, the way things are being done on a day-to-day basis. You know, you can feel it in the building. The players understand the expectations. And clearly, we need to take another step up. You know, 10 wins is really, I think, the price of admission where we need to be, but we need to take that next step up here. And so I'm happy that we've stabilized the program, put it back in a position where it needs to be now. It's taken that next step. Along the way, we had to make some changes because we weren't living up to the standards that we need to on a defensive side of the ball. So we've made some major changes on that side. Blake Baker coming in to coordinate the defense. I'm excited about the vision that we have there and his ability to engage our players. So, you know, with continuity comes some change, Paul, and I like the combination of both and excited about year three.
A lot of things are happening around college football, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about something that happened 4 or 5 weeks ago that I know in some ways it was one of the motivational factors for you to take the job. We're talking about Nick Saban, who many, if not all, agree is the greatest coach of all time. You had the chance to meet him before, and you beat him your first year at LSU. I know everyone's happy for him, sad to see him go, but deep down as a coach, what were your thoughts when you heard that news?
First of all, I was surprised. We were on a Zoom call the day that he made the announcement, and it was business as usual. But that's Nick, right? I mean, You know, never is he a guy that is going to, you know, take the easy way. I mean, he's going to work right up to the last second. So there was no indication. There was no, hey, I'm thinking about it. I mean, he probably walked in and just made his mind up and said, I'm moving on. But was surprised at first, but, you know, clearly understand he's, look, as you mentioned, he is the standard of what everybody is trying to achieve, and that is incredible consistency at the highest level, championships. He's done it with class and distinction, and he set the bar. And so now he's got a golf game to work on, and I'm sure he's going to work on it every single day. But, you know, we have somebody with such great knowledge that I know he wants to give it back as well. And you know, I read his comments a couple of days ago or yesterday about, you know, he's going to use this as an opportunity to do the best he can because he loves the student athlete, the college student athlete. And I think that's going to be great for college football.
And on that subject, because there is, he mentioned that he would like to contribute something meaningful there. I don't know what that is right now with all the chaos going on in college sports, but certainly he has the experience. We just got through watching the CFP meet and agree, at least short term, to this 5-7 model. It opens up some more opportunities. I know that's meaningful to coaches who are trying to get into the playoffs. You understand it, but what are your thoughts on where college football is right now?
Well, I think we're going to get into a phase here where it's going to be untarnished truths. I mean, I think it's going to be, here's the reality of where we're at. I don't think there's going to be any card that's not turned over, if that makes any sense. I think we're at a point where even with we're talking about comments from Nick is going to be, you know, very transparent and whatever he talks about. There's no more politics involved here. This is about, here's where the game is and this is where it needs to go. And all things are going to be on the table for discussion. And I think it's going to be what's best for those teams and those conferences that are intricate involved in what's happening. So I think that's what you're going to see over the next few months.
It's interesting, the commissioner of the ACC, a league that in your former job you had an affiliation with, of course, was concerned about expanding the playoff to 12 because you could ultimately, if you're in the first round, go to 17 games. You understand player safety better than anyone. How concerned should we be about what we're about to get into?
Well, I think with technology today, I think with the resources that you have today, you're going to have to understand that, you know, 17 is a long season, but it's certainly doable. I think we all have the facilities to do it. Those that can't do it are not going to be part of this. And that's kind of what I was saying. And I don't want to come across as crass, but You're going to have to step up to this level if you want to play, you know, for a national championship, because that's what's demanded by the TV contracts. That's what's demanded by everybody that wants to see college football at this level. So we have the resources necessary to protect our players and to put them in a good position to succeed over a longer schedule. We've got to be smart. But we've got the resources, we've got the coaching staff, we've got the support staff to do it, but we've got to be very smart about it.
And there's an entertainment side to this, and as we look at the LSU schedule for the upcoming season, I see a couple of games that starting with Southern Cal in Vegas. I mean, you've played on that first weekend, on that Sunday night a couple of times, down in New Orleans and in Florida, but talk about a marquee game. Southern Cal's first year in the Big Ten, and it's a rivalry that we haven't seen a lot of Southern Cal LSU games, but there have been a few going back to the 70s and elsewhere. But what are your thoughts in addition to Alabama and going to Florida, road trips at A&M? Oh, by the way, UCLA in a couple weeks after that as well. I mean, and South Alabama, which upset a number of big teams last year. This is quite a schedule, Coach.
It's awesome, right? I mean, this is what college football is about. This is why I came to LSU, is to play this kind of schedule. The only thing I need to do is I need to do a better job on Sunday nights. You know, we got beat the last 2 Sunday nights, so we're going to practice just on Sunday nights. But it's an exciting schedule. I mean, Lincoln Riley's done a great job of bringing in great defensive coaches. They're going to have a really good football team. They're kind of going through what we did defensively in terms of retooling that defense. They're going to just restock on offense. They're going to be obviously very good there. So it should be an exciting opener. We're excited about the schedule. It's going to be a difficult schedule, but one where, you know, certainly you navigate that schedule, you put yourself in a great position for, you know, there's 12 teams in the playoffs. And so we figured that if this kind of schedule, you play well, you got a great chance of being in the playoffs.
Coach, I've asked you a lot of sometimes difficult questions after, you know, big wins or tough losses, but this one I'm not sure I'm really qualified to. We're going to show something here on the screen. This is Coach Kelly, and I think this is a bald eagle, although I'm really not that sure. What's going on here?
Yeah, so I'm releasing a bald eagle that was injured, and our vet school, you know, nursed it back to health. They do a great job, obviously, in terms of, you know, their interaction with wildlife throughout the state of Louisiana. My daughter happens to be a graduate assistant there, and she's actually taking the picture in the background here. But look, it started with Kim Mulkey doing it. And if Mulkey does it, I have to do it. I mean, because she sets the trend around here. And I can't wear a purple sequins jacket, so I figured if I let a bald eagle go, I'd be in the same club as she was.
I'm sure some of your critics will say that the bald eagle is in the transfer portal, but we're not going
yeah,
down that
no
way.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm sure they played with that a lot, and there's no doubt about it.
Well, you talk about other sports at LSU. You got the defending women's and baseball. Your basketball team knocked off Kentucky last night, and Angel was the first one on the court. So it's been quite a couple of weeks in Baton Rouge. Coach, what's next for you?
Well, I mean, to me, as I said, you know, this part of the season now is really critical for us because we get a chance to know our players and the players on campus. We get so caught up with the 25 class or the 26 class. You know, our guys on campus are important, and they need to see us, and we need to be visible with them and spend time with our players that are here on campus. So right now through February, March, and April, this is our chance to really engage and build relationships with the players on our football team that are going to be important in playing USC and playing that schedule you just put up in front of you. So the next 3 months, spending a lot of time with our football team.
Well, we look forward to staying in touch and seeing you very soon. Coach, many thanks. Great to be reunited.
Good to be back on the show. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Brian Kelly joining us from Baton Rouge as we get underway here on a Thursday afternoon. We'll take a short break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
And what about this? Doubleheader night on the SEC Network. Bama. At South Carolina. We got the defending champs hosting Auburn. That's quite an evening. We'll talk more about it a little bit later. We welcome you back, and Todd is up next in Shelby.
Hey,
hello,
Bob.
Todd.
Thank you for taking my call, buddy.
Thank you.
You having a good day?
Yes, sir. Great.
I got two or three things I want to say that's crap, but I don't hang up on me because I got two real serious things I want to talk to you about. But anyway, first thing I want to say, Hayden, we done stuck our neck out for you, and we done run Jim's ass off. So next time you call in here, see can't you make a better call than what you did today, young man. And also, Andre, over here in Alabama, everybody loves Eli Gold. And you said you ain't got no horse in that race. You got Fat Fanny over there in your district. Why don't you fix her? Fix things that's up under your nose, son. I mean, she's stealing all your money. But, Paul, I wanted to say this. My wife says every time I listen to Jim, my IQ goes down 2 points. But, listen, I've been thinking about this. If you and Legend, y'all work that deal to get into the prison and stuff, I would like to donate a bunch of Bibles. And I'll buy them myself. And also, Paul, I've been thinking about we need to have a Paul Feinbaum reunion up here at Legion Field. And if we can get enough participation, I'll be glad to donate $35, $40 to fly people, you know, get us all to donate some money. We'll send it to the Feinbaum Show. And that way, someone like Bubba and Bash, we'll fly them in here. And, you know, once we get them here, we don't give a damn about getting them home. They do the best they can.
Yeah, but, I mean, and by the way, Todd, once you got to Alabama, why would you want to leave?
Well, I don't know. You know, I loved Kansas, too, and I love them people out there in Oklahoma. I love, man, if I wasn't an Alabama fan, Paul, I'd probably be an Oklahoma fan. Love them folks. And
they're good people.
I just love everybody, Paul. But anyway, hey, y'all put that together. Let's have us a family reunion, get Jerome and everybody. Let's have this thing down on Legion Field. Let's eat some barbecue and have a good time. And I'll go down there and pick up Charles from Real Town.
Now, that would be something. By the way, I'd like to see Charles from Real Town threaten you.
And I miss, man, to me, him and Tammy were the best. You know, he used to call Jim Straight Jacket Jim.
Oh, yeah, he did. You know, I forgot that.
I sure miss him, Paul.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yep. Well, all right, Paul. Love
okay,
you, brother.
Todd,
y'all
good to hear from you.
Day,
thank
man.
You very much. Brad is up. Bash is up next in Boulder.
Bash, Brother Paul, what a hell of a call with Todd from Shelby. Randy, good to see you in the studio, sir. My man. Paul, I'm reacting. That was a great game we had yesterday. The Alabama Crimson Tide men's basketball team beat the Florida Gators in overtime. And I got to be honest, God told Aaron Estrada exactly where to be to get those offensive rebounds, because that was the only reason we ended up winning that game in overtime. But aside from that, Paul, I wanted to ask you a question that you brought up earlier in the show about Nick Saban, along with the EA college football announcement. So let me ask you a question, Paul. Do you see any comparison between Nick Saban and John Madden?
Not really. I mean, they were both great coaches, but completely different personalities.
Agreed, different personalities, but the fact that their coaches, like their tenure as coaches, reached a limit as far as they could, like as far as what Nick is talking about, as
well,
what he wants
Madden
to make
also,
it different.
Madden retired at a relatively young age.
No, but you don't understand what I'm getting at, Paul. It's the EA Sports connection.
But I don't think there. I mean, I'm not sure there is a Nick Saban EA Sports connection. I mean, I know there was a Madden.
So?
I know the Madden game was obviously. The trailblazer, but what does Saban have to do with EA Sports?
Well, it's going to be EA College Football next year, and I'm just going to ask you, Paul, what sounds better, EA College Football or EA Saban?
Yeah, I mean, but Madden had a lot of personality. I mean, he dove headfirst into everything he did, and he supported the game. Big difference. Curtis is up next. Hello, Curtis.
Hey, Paul, how you been doing?
We're doing great, Curtis. Thank you.
And Paul, I hate to see it, but it'll happen. Nick, you know, I'm not an Alabama fan, but I guess I'm going to miss Nick, but I'm going to miss hearing Eli Gold. I mean, Eli Gold, I wish he could have got a better deal, but, you know, but I wish him the best, him and his family. And, Paul, you asked a question earlier about who would you like to see come to the SEC?
Yeah.
And Virginia Tech. I would like to see Virginia Tech come.
You know, that's interesting because I think you have to think about the ACC schools as the most, I mean, a handful of them, not the entire league. Virginia Tech has a lot of cultural connections to the SEC. West Virginia did too, but the academics of West Virginia, when the openings came 13 years ago, did not match up. But you know, I think Virginia Tech does offer. I mean, there's a lot of things about Virginia Tech that are somewhat open-ended, but they do offer a great deal of cultural connections.
You know, like the atmosphere in Blacksburg on you know, if they play a night game.
No doubt. Very, very well-known place.
Yeah. Good talking to you, Paul, and like I said, I wish Eli all the best, and just, you know, like I said, not being an Alabama fan, I just hate it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, somebody asked me earlier today about, you know, broadcasters leave at a certain level, like Alabama's broadcaster left after Bryant, John Forney. The difference between 40 years ago and today is how important radio was then to college football, and quite frankly, how unimportant it is today. Most everybody watches the game on TV. Yeah, you still have to listen to it if you're in your car or if you're at the stadium, although you could probably watch it too, but it's not quite what it used to be. And I say that as somebody who has been in radio a long time. The industry has been diminished. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Brad is up next in Macon, Georgia. Hey, Brad.
Mr. Paul, how are you, sir?
We are doing great.
Man, I missed you yesterday. I waited on you for an hour and a half and never got on.
Well, Brad, I apologize for that. I should have done a better job.
Oh, you're fine, Paul. I was just, so give me a little time today at least.
You got all the time you want.
Thanks. Jim took it on the chin pretty hard this week, hadn't he?
Yeah, I don't want to be overly dramatic, but what happened to Jim is comparable to having a bunch of people undress you, beat you to a pulp, and leave you on a railroad track to get run over. Cause, you agree?
I got you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Randy just said he got country boyed.
Country manhandled.
Yes.
That's what I call it.
I had somebody explain to me once. Remember when Charles from Real Town would call up and he'd say yeah, he was going to give us a country boy ass whipping? And I posed the question, is that really any different than just a normal? And I had a country boy stop me one day at a Walmart and said, let me explain to you a little bit about it. I said, okay. You don't need to explain any more than you have. I get it. I think he wanted to show me.
It's a little different when you go up against a country boy. Trust me on that.
Yeah.
But going back to the ACC, how about Miami and Clemson? Just because of logistics. Also, those two teams could recruit well enough to be competitive in the SEC. And it sets up for for rivalries with Florida. Already has one with Miami.
Yeah, no,
and
listen,
South Carolina.
I mean, there may be a day when this becomes a big topic. It's probably not today, but we're not that far from it.
Right. One more thing before I let you go. I don't want to step on other people's calls. About Chicago, the first round draft pick. I think Justin Fields is going to be moving on because that relationship, from what I understand, is sour. So, Paul, as a general manager, would you draft Caleb Williams and trade Justin Fields and get what you could, or would you actually drop down to maybe Washington and, of course, you'd be trading Justin Fields, giving away your first-round draft pick, and you would get Jaden Daniels and be able to put more around him in that regard?
Yeah, Brad, it's a good question, and thank you for the call. Most experts rate Drake May third, Jaden Daniels second, and Caleb Williams third. First, excuse me. Depends on what you can get. I mean, is there a significant difference? I don't think there's that big a difference between Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. Thanks for the call. Up against the break, we come back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We continue. Bubba is up next.
Randy, what's shaking, Paul?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Todd's wanting to have a pig picking, sounds like.
Does sound like that.
Yeah. They don't have to save me up any money. I'll find my way down there. We might have to send an Uber to pick Bash up.
Yeah. We might tell Bash. Tell Bash to go somewhere else.
Yeah. We can just give him the wrong date. We'll have it on a Saturday and tell him it's on a Sunday.
Why don't we send Bash down to Jim's house?
Well, that may work out. Or we could use the same tactic on both of them, either one.
Well, Jim won't go because he's quit the show.
No, well, he'll be back. God love him. Jim, what was that? I-Man calls Nick Saban a quitter now.
Oh,
Jim's
yeah.
The biggest quitter I ever knew. How many times he quit, Paul?
I think we're close to triple digits, aren't we?
Yeah, we got to be getting there. He's quit a bunch. Now, I heard that caller call in a while ago talking about Virginia Tech coming into the SEC. Honestly, I don't think that would be a bad fit, Paul.
Well, there is a I don't know really if anything's happening, but I think Virginia Tech certainly would fit in well.
I think Clemson, Georgia Tech, North Carolina would be more likely candidates, but Virginia Tech, I know their fan base. I grew up in that area, and you were either a Virginia Tech fan or a Tennessee fan, which naturally I was more toward the Tri-Cities area. I was a diehard Tennessee fan, still am, but I know they're passionate about their football, and their stadium is pretty wild on game day.
Oh, there's no doubt. What you have to think about, though, is when you add a school, you do it for a lot of reasons. But it usually comes down to how do they appeal from a television standpoint?
Oh, absolutely. They got to have TV appeal.
And I got bad news for Virginia Tech. They're not what they were, and they better get back pretty quickly if they want to be taken seriously.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, the days of Frank Beamer and Michael Vick are gone, you know, but they have the potential to get back there if they took football serious as they used to. I just think that they've kind of slacked in that department, with their athletic department. So Frank Beamer used to pull a lot of talent off the east coast of Virginia and around the D.C. area and Maryland. And, I mean, they had some tough football teams. I mean, they played, Vic took them to the national championship against Florida State. And Michael Vick almost single-handedly won that game. That was an amazing football game. But, I think he'd have a lot to offer. But do you see the ACC just completely falling apart at some point, like the Big 12?
Certainly. I think a lot of it depends on what happens with this lawsuit with Florida State. And I think the danger for the ACC is if their television agreement gets exposed, which it will, then it could get litigated to the point where it opens the door for others to leave. And how does the ACC, I mean, the ACC may compare well right now with other conferences, namely the Big 12, but they compare poorly to the two that matter, and that's really the challenge.
Yeah, and honestly, one false move by the ACC, and they could get left totally behind, I feel like. I mean, you know, it wouldn't take a whole lot. If I think you're right. Florida State's a key. They may be the string that unravels the whole.
Yeah, if I had to just simply guess, and that's all I'm doing, I think if you had to rank the ACC schools in terms of discomfort right now, I'm guessing Clemson, not far behind.
No, I'd say they're not. I'd say Clemson's just hanging around waiting to see how this Florida State deal comes off. I think, you know, they're just sitting them to the side watching and observing. And, you know, there's no doubt Clemson would fit right in, you know.
Yeah, but see, every time you add a Clemson, you have to do – I mean, South Carolina is more important right now. And that's a – I don't need to tell you how sensitive a subject that's going to be in Columbia if you say, oh, by the way, we're adding Clemson. I mean, that is not really fair to a good member of the – anyway, this is for another day, but one day we will get to it. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.